All right. Well, good evening again. We are going to get into Hebrews 11 tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover, but before we do that, I'd like to take a step back. It is Pastor Appreciation Month, and if you look in the Bible, pastors and elders are synonymous. If you go to 1 Peter 5, or if you go to 1 Timothy 3, pastors and elders, they hold the same roles. And so, because there's not an Elder Appreciation Month, I'd like to take a moment to honor our elders. So, and for those of you who don't know who they are, you'll get to know at least what their names are here tonight. All right, so Travis Ledford, I want to honor. Travis is somebody, man, he is in the sound booth often. In fact, right now is often. He's back there working. And he is here early. In fact, sometimes on Sunday mornings, he's the first one here. In fact, often he's the first one here. He leads a life group. He has the youth over at the house for fun events and things like that. Just very, very generous. Earlier in the year, there was some conflict resolution needed between a couple parties. And man, he led that and God moved so greatly in that. Just his wisdom, his discernment, his calm spirit. He doesn't say a lot. If you know Travis, he doesn't say a lot. But when he does speak, you want to hear what he says because there's a lot of wisdom in it. So, if you will, let's recognize Travis for a minute. Travis, thanks for all you do. Next one is Matt Lorenzen. You don't see Matt in here because he's down with the youth. He's been teaching those youth ever since I've been here. He is pouring into the next generation so often, understands the need to pour into the next generation. And just like Travis, doesn't say a whole lot, but he has great discernment. He is always active and in the needs of the church, does an incredible job with that. He doesn't get bent out of shape about much, if you know Matt. In fact, part of me wants to try to just like provoke him. Is there something that I can do to make him upset? But just a very gracious approach to ministry Matt has. So can we thank Matt for all he does? Next one is Craig Cheshire. Craig basically kind of heads up our setup and teardown. He also leads a life group. You will see him most Wednesday nights serving the food. Craig in the elder room, he asks the hard questions very often. He loves the church so much that he's willing to ask the hard questions. So I really appreciate him doing that. And by the way, he's not here tonight. He's out of town. And don't tell him I said this, but Sunday when he's back, he loves hugs. So just go up, give him a big hug. Just come up right behind him, give him a big hug. He loves hugs. No, but can we thank Craig Cheshire for all he does? And then the last one is Mark Frangione. Mark loves to teach fourth and fifth graders. I don't know if you know this about him, but he really loves the scriptures. And he loves to teach the scriptures to that younger generation. And now that you see 7th and 8th and 9th graders coming up, they remember what they learned from Mark in his class because he is actively teaching in so many different ways. He teaches a life group as well. He's here serving in so many different ways. So Mark Frangione, can we give it up for Mark as well? On your way out tonight, just one way that you can thank them is I have four picture frames back there. Three of them have pictures in them. Mark and Terry, I couldn't find a picture of them, so it just says Mark and Terry in the box, and I guess they'll fill in a picture. But if you could, on the outside edges of that, just sign your name, give them a note to let them know that you appreciate them before the night's end. All right? Let me pray for our elders, and then we'll get into the message. Father, we thank you for the leadership that you've given to us, Grace Meadows Church. Just thank you for the overseers that you have in place here. I pray, would you protect them? Would you guide them? Would you equip them? Would you sharpen them? Would you give them the encouragement they needed or the conviction that they might need? I pray that you just be gracious to them in all ways. Be gracious to their families. Protect marriages. Protect family relationships, protect friendships, protect life groups. I pray that you would just, in this next season of life, the months to come, the years to come, that you would just bless them and their families so deeply and so graciously. God, we love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, well, as I said, we are getting into Hebrews chapter 11, and we haven't been here in a few weeks because we've had some mission partners come in. And by the way, Recovery Soldiers Ministries last week did an incredible job. There's so much power and testimony. It was great to hear that. But we're back in Hebrews 11, and essentially what we're doing is, this is called the Hall of Faith, where the writer just goes back and he says, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so, by faith so-and-so. And we've gotten to verse 22. And what we're going to do is, we're going to kind of skip over Joseph because I've talked a lot about Joseph recently. Joseph is my favorite Old Testament person, so you've heard me talk about him a lot. And what we're going to do is we're going to cover the Moses section. The writer of Hebrews talks about Moses more than anybody, and I think he's doing this on purpose because you would think if there was somebody in this group that was a legalist, you would think it would be Moses. I mean, God actually gives him the law. In fact, people called it the law of Moses. And what we have to remember is there's this order. And at the end of tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to go to Ephesians 2. But essentially, the breakdown is this, and we have to remember this, that it is the love of God that pours out the grace of God, and we put our faith in God in order to do the works of God. We have to get that order right. If we get that order out of whack, it can give into legalism very quickly. We think we have to earn position by our works. Got to get this order right. And Moses is going to teach us that here tonight. All right, let's pick up in verse 22. It says, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. In essence, what he's saying here is there will be a future exodus. And we'll take a step back here in just a moment and talk about really what he's talking about. But essentially, he's saying, there will be a future exodus. And the thing about my bones is trying to give you a guarantee that I actually mean this. It's not symbolic. It's not something that we're just hoping for. I really believe this. In fact, I believe it in my bones. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. It just... All right, let's move on. Verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, some versions say he was beautiful. And by the way, guess who writes the book of Exodus and says this? Moses. I mean, come on, man. What are you talking about? Now, but what is he saying? He's saying that they realized that God was doing something very special here. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting, highlight that word, fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. All right, we're going to take this basically in three chapters tonight. All right, the first chapter is scarcity versus abundance. Let's address the distinction between the Pharaoh and then Moses and some of his family. See, the Pharaoh ironically had a scarcity mindset, even though he had an abundance. And Moses, while having scarcity, essentially had an abundance mindset. Man, you could have everything in the world and fear losing it and grip tightly to it, having a scarcity mindset. Or you can realize as a Christian that because you have Jesus, you already have everything. And so everything is just a bonus. So you're living out of this abundance mentality. Let me give some background here. Remember when Joseph in Genesis comes to Egypt? He's sold into slavery. And then there's this great famine in the land. So his family and other Israelites come into Egypt, about 70 of them. Well, Over the span of about 200 years, there's roughly between 600,000 and 2 million more Israelites who come into the land of Egypt. And the pharaohs of the past are gone. Joseph is gone. There is no more memory of what that time was like. So now you have a pharaoh who doesn't love God and is now giving in to a fear that he has, that these Israelites are going to take over. So he says this. He says, "Let us deal shrewdly with them." This isn't all that different than what the Pharisees do with Jesus. Their authority is threatened. So they say, "Let us deal shrewdly with him." That's what the Pharaoh is doing here. He says, "Let's enslave them and let's murder them. Let's wipe them out." Pharaoh, in essence, is the original Nazi. This is a human nature problem to live in fear and grip tightly to whatever power we think we should have. But man, it gets exacerbated whenever we have positions of authority and we have this mentality. We have seen this throughout history. You go to Acts chapter 4, and Peter and John say, "Hey, look, you can threaten me, but what? Should we listen to you or should we listen to God?" And by the way, power does not like that. That's Pharaoh's issue here. He wants to be the ultimate authority. But to the God-fearing man, there is an authority much greater than man's authority. And that's why the Christians in Rome, man, Rome hated the Christians. Because Rome would have all these gods, and they'd say, "Everybody bow down to these gods." So what would happen is, if the Christians, bowing only to one god, didn't bow to the sun god, and then a big storm came, they would blame the Christians for that. And they'd be all up in arms for them about that. Why? There is an authority that is greater than what the government is saying to them. We've experienced that, and we're not too far removed, so I hesitate to bring this up, but think about the COVID era. I mean, you had one way of thinking. And if you didn't think that exact way, you were silenced, you were labeled a conspiracy theorist, you were labeled less than human, and some people were even thrown into jail. Why? Power hates it when its power is threatened. It despises the fact that there is a power that simply is limited to when it contradicts with the beliefs of a believer that there is a higher power that they have to submit to. They hate that idea. That's what's going on here. And that's why verse 23 says, "By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict." He said, "You're maybe going to kill me for disobeying orders." That's all right. God is doing something here, and we should listen to him rather than listen to men. We have everything we ever could need because we have God. We have an abundance of riches in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2, I'm calling fleeting pleasures or forever treasures. Verse 24, "By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward." Now think about that for a second. Power at his fingertips. He's in the household of Pharaoh. That is a life where power and pleasure is at the fingertips. It would be an idiotic thing to give that up, unless there is something greater out there. See, that's why I told you to highlight that word fleeting. Because what the world offers is fleeting. It promises fulfillment, but it leaves something to be desired. I mean, in essence, my choice is this. I can give in to pleasure today and suffer all my days, or I can suffer today for the joy set before me after the cross. This is what Moses is thinking here. He's thinking, if I can just submit to God into his kingdom, I'm going to suffer, because the suffering is the denial of those pleasures. But if I can do that, there's so much more joy that's not fleeting. It is a forever treasure. And man, this is the battle in the heart for the Christian. Look at Romans 7. Paul's like, this thing, and my flesh says this, and living in the Spirit, and all these things. And I don't know if you guys experience this, but I experience this all the time. You wake up in the morning, and man, I know I need to get in the Word. But it's a little easier just to like scroll on my phone. Or I know it would be good to serve and go beyond myself, but I kind of want to just give in to comfort. What Moses is saying here is he's going, no, reject the fleeting pleasures. Instead, I treasure God and God's way. And he knew there was something greater than these fleeting pleasures. And Paul, in the New Testament, speaks to this. Chapter 3, verse 4. He says, look, I'm pretty awesome, essentially, is what he's saying here. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, those fleeting, powerful positions, those fleeting pleasures, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I mean, he considers the lusts of this world to be garbage compared to Jesus. I guess that's a question for us. Fleeting pleasures or forever treasures? Just kind of like a party. This is a really bad example. Okay, so I'll just tell you on the front end how bad this is. But like, consider you have a charcuterie party, all right? And people come over and you have a good time, but nobody eats the olives because nobody ever eats the olives, all right? So you throw them away in the trash at the end of the night. Well, the next day, some of you are shaking your head like do you eat the olives? Oh. I have to say, I told you it was a bad example from the start. But that next day, that food in that trash can spoils, and it stinks, and you got to take that trash out. And if you want that high again, that excitement of the party, guess what? You got to do it again and again and again. You get this little dopamine hit from the party. And what Jesus is saying here is all you really got to do is just deny yourself. And in so doing, there will be suffering because we don't like death to ourselves. And yet, if we will do that, there will be forever treasure on the other side of that. We can really have fleeting pleasures, or we can have forever treasures, but we can't really have both of those. Chapter 3, law-based striving versus grace-based abiding. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. You know, it's said that you can really take Moses' life in 40-year increments. He lives to 120 years old. In the first 40 years of his life, he is learning to really be something. And the next 40 years of his life, as he is shepherding way outside of Egypt, he's got no more position again. He's really kind of learning that he actually is nothing. And then in the last 40 years, what he learns is that God can use him as nothing and turn him into something. And that's kind of the lesson for all of us. What God does to this Moses at 80 years old, he comes and he speaks to him in a bush. And he essentially says, hey, you, Moses, 80-year-old ex-convict, it's time for you to go back into Egypt. Because remember, at 40 years old, he left Egypt because this dude got angry and killed a man and was forced to leave because he broke the law. And now God is asking him at 80 years old, hey, you, go back to Egypt. And I want you to do it boldly. I want you to tell the Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, think about the grace of God in this moment. Because, by the way, Moses still isn't, like, eager to do this. In fact, he rips off three excuses right away. Number one, he goes, what should I even tell them? I mean, how is this even going to happen? So God does this cool, like, stick, snake trick. It's awesome. He's like, look what I can do. And then the next time he goes, yeah, but I can't even speak, though. Like, I got a speech impediment. I can't even really, like, talk well. And he goes, yeah, but I made man's mouth. And then finally, he gets to the heart of the matter, and he goes, look, just send somebody else. And God so graciously says, hey, I'll send Aaron with you. Just go. And so Moses goes. And by faith, God is so gracious as to put blood on the homes so that judgment would pass over those homes. Why? Because those homes who recognize the grace of God through the blood of Jesus will be saved. And then verse 29 says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. God makes these water walls. Let me take a step back. Moses goes in, and the Pharaoh stubbornly goes, no, I'm not letting them go, And then plague after plague after plague happens. And then finally, he goes, fine, go, I've had enough. But even then, he changes his mind, and he sends the Egyptian army right after the Israelites whenever they go out of slavery. And so then, they get close to some water, and they're surrounded by mountains, water, in the Egyptian army. And what does God do? Makes a way when there was no way. And all he does is say, just walk through this narrow way. Praise God. Man, only God leads out of slavery. Only God leads into freedom from the bondage of sin. It is him, and it is him only. Remember, there is no law before this. That's so crucial for us to understand. God doesn't say, I'm going to give you the law while you're in slavery, and if you do a good enough job keeping it, I will think about freeing you from slavery. What does he do? Because of his great love for us, he extends this radical act of grace to make a way out of the bondage of slavery. And then he says, here is the law. Here is the best way to live into the freedom that you have been given. Praise God. Man, there are so many legalistic leanings because it's in our nature to do it. But if we can get this order right, God frees them and then gives them the law. God frees them and gives them the law. Not gives them the law. They did a good job and he frees them. And that's why Chapter 3 is grace-based abiding. That's the Christian faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 through 10. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. This is our slavery. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But here it is. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming days he might show the incomparable riches of his grace experienced in the kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. See, if we don't get this order right, then we go right back into slavery. We go right back into the bondage of trying to earn position with God. And what we got to do is go back to His great love for us. He made these water walls and said, just walk through it. So, as we conclude our time tonight, we're going to conclude here. There's not a worship set on the back end. What I want to do is I want to take these three chapters. If it's helpful, close your eyes, but I want you to really reflect in these areas. Chapter 1 was abundance versus scarcity. Moses had nothing, really, but also realized that he had everything. Do you know that you have an abundance of riches in Christ Jesus? Are you living from a place of abundance? David says, I lack nothing. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Do you experience lack in your life? You've got to know that if you have Christ, you have everything. In chapter 2, fleeting pleasures versus forever treasures. The pleasures of this world, are we being trapped by them? Are we being fooled by those fleeting pleasures? Don't be fooled. It all quickly ends up garbage. But treasuring Christ will always live up to the hype. Where's our treasure? Where's our treasure tonight? And then chapter 3, law-based striving versus grace-based abiding. It is by the blood of the Lamb that we are saved. You and I can't earn a thing. Can we part the seas? Can we lead ourselves into freedom? We don't know the way. Only the shepherd knows the way. So we abide in Him, in His love, and His grace for us. And then by faith, good works flow from us. So as we enter prayer to conclude our time, Father, be gracious to reveal to us where we don't get this story. Where there's legalism still in us. Man, maybe we just want to earn things, you know? We think our good work should count for something. Would you help us to die to that? Man, some of us, maybe it's those fleeting pleasures. Man, it just seemed too tempting. We just can't say no. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would help us to say, no, I want something better. I want Christ. Christ alone will do for me. Man, and then maybe it's the abundance and the scarcity. Maybe we just always feel like we lack something. We always feel like we got to go outside of your will. We always feel like we got to make this thing fit. We always feel frustrated about this. We always feel like it's got to work out this way. We hold on. We cling to. We grip tightly. We live in fear. I pray, help us to realize that because of Christ, we have everything. God, speak to our hearts right now in this moment. What do we need to give over to you? What do we need to say? That's enough. We give everything to Jesus. Holy Spirit, do your work. Convict hearts in this place as needed. Encourage hearts where is needed as well. It's your love that pours out your grace that we put our faith in, and that's where good works flow. So I pray, help us get this order right as we go from here. Oh, we love you so very much. You're a good Father. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, hey, this is new, so transitioning this way, but a couple things as you go. Number one, please be sure to go sign those frames in the back. Again, there's three pictures, not four, but the fourth one is Mark and Terry. It's got their names on it. Just sign that. Let them know that you appreciate them. Also, in terms of teardown, Travis, remind me, do we need to get the tables cleared or no? Okay, if you can just put chairs on top of the tables, and then if a few guys can help, I think we got to make the stage smaller, right? So if a few of you guys can stay for that. Aside from that, you guys are sent. Join us Sunday. It's going to be a big day, 10 a.m. You don't want to miss Abide and then Barntoberfest at 5 o'clock. All right, y'all have a great day.